The Netball Show with Flyhawk, raising the bar for netball and women's sport.
Hello and welcome to the Netball Show with Flyhawk. I'm Sasha Shipway. On today's episode, Jenny Woods from New Zealand joins me as we dissect the world champions, the Silver Ferns side, ahead of the Birmingham 2022 Commonwealth Games. 12 athletes were named as New Zealand looked to compensate for the 2018 Commonwealth Games, where they left the tournament without any silverware for the first time. Jenny is a commentator in New Zealand, and we like to refer to her as the voice of netball in New Zealand. Jenny, thank you for joining us. And first of all, what's your overall reaction to the squad that Dame Nolene Tarua has named?
Well, I think like many, my first reaction was one of surprise. There were a lot of names, or there were several names that were there that I hadn't expected. And of course, correspondingly, several names that weren't there that I thought would be. Maddie Gordon, I thought would be there. Tiana Maturo. And a few others that I thought would, you know, would be sitters, but no, not to be. And having listened to Dame Nolene expound her theories and talk about the whys and wherefores, I now see where she's coming from, and it does make sense. And for those listeners who, you know, want to have another look, there's an 18-minute explanation on YouTube of Tarua talking about it. So I'm now thinking, yeah, I can see why they've picked who they've picked.
Yeah, I loved that video. It was just 18 minutes of pure insight into the mind of a netball genius. That's what it felt like to me. And I was going to ask you, you know, to start off with, you did name a few there, but what did you make of those who were omitted from those 12 athletes who will be heading to Birmingham 2022?
Well, I think for a start, you know, there were good reasons. When she explained it, a lot of it was around philosophies, how she wants to play the game. She wants to be unpredictable. She made the point that I think she said that, you know, New Zealand was the only country of the big three or four that held trials after their domestic competition. And she said there were two players who, from the way she spoke, I don't think we're going to, you know, were in her original thoughts, but Whitney Souness and Kate Heffernan, she said on their performance, could not be left out. They were absolutely stunning. And if I told you the number of times she talked about Whitney Souness in this interview that we all did on naming day, you know, it was amazing. So, of course, not a total surprise that Souness is in that team. She's been there before, but perhaps interesting that she has got there ahead of some of those other mid-quarters because, I mean, Sam Winders, for example, Roelu Buchanan, all those sort of players. So, you know, I get that. I also, the way she described the particular type of you know, defence that they want to play. And I think particularly since the end of the ANZ Championship and that Australia and New Zealand went back to playing a part, I think the rise of the New Zealand zone style of playing has really, you know, only grown. And I think I'm right in saying that, you know, other countries, particularly Australia, don't like playing the zone, although every now and then you see some of them do it themselves. So I think that's what she wants to play. And I think the inability of some players to sort of fit into that zone pattern, Maddie Gordon comes to mind. She was mentioned as perhaps not having the wingspan of a Kate Heffernan, who is a very tall middie. So, you know, it was well explained.
Oh, it was well explained. And I feel like many people, myself included probably, and many fans online seem to do a U-turn from that video where you were able to get an explanation. I mean, having an explanation really does help soften everything, doesn't it, when you completely understand the reasoning behind it. So it was interesting to see people suddenly going from being like, what is she doing? To being like, she's a genius. We love her.
It's interesting, isn't it? Yeah, I think the other thing too that you've got to realise is that the four selectors have not just sat down, you know, 3 weeks ago to write out their team. You know, they've been watching these players for 18 months, 2 years. And we did a piece with Gail Parata, who's one of the selectors now, and she went through the process of what they do. And I'm sure all selectors are the same. And they all had certain players to watch. They watch a game and then they go back and they watch that game again, but they only watch the player that Tarua has asked them to watch, and they make notes and they have access to all the data. And they've got the data from the Suncorp League, from the Vitality, you know, UK League. So Hell's Bells, they must watch a lot of netball. And, you know, you can't accuse them of not doing their job, because this is a very, very detailed process.
Oh, absolutely. And there's such a science behind it. And it's funny you bring up Gail Parata, because when I was playing netball for Ireland, she actually came over as a guest coach, and she coached us for a while. And I really respect her and rate her opinion, actually. But yeah, I was going to start at the shooting end and ask you your thoughts on those four athletes. We've got Bailey Mez, Grace Newkie, subject to medical clearance, Selby Rickett and Maya Wilson. So what do you reckon about the shooting power here?
Yeah, well, the surprise for me was Tapia Selby-Rickett. I had the others in, but I was kind of hoping that Amelia Anacanasio might have got there. She didn't quite make the cutoff. But, you know, again, explained, certainly Selby-Rickett got better and better as the season went. And Tyrua's talked about the volume. You know, she wants high-volume shooters. And certainly there's no doubt about, you know, the numbers that these players put up. The accuracy is another matter. You know, and everyone is sort of, you in this country, you tend to either be a Bailey Mez fan or perhaps not quite so much. And I am. I love the way Mez plays. And yes, it is a little bit hot and cold sometimes. I looked up shooting percentages. I mean, she's on 77%, but she's not afraid to turn and shoot. Almost to the point sometimes where you think, oh, no, please don't shoot from there. But, you know, her accuracy has improved. I'm pleased to see Nweki there. She just is so exciting. And I think from what I can glean, I think her being there is one of the reasons also that Whitney Souness is there, because she has apparently stood out in the trials as being able to feed her beautifully. And that was one of the problems New Zealand had playing England in that series last year. Nweki was in that team, but we couldn't find her. Partly she was being marked by quite a good goalkeeper, Sheva Mentor, who was absolutely outstanding. But I also think too that the feed wasn't perhaps spot on, and perhaps Nweki herself, you know, she's 19, 20, very green. So, you know, she's only going to get better. Maya Wilson kind of had to be there. Every now and then she goes a little bit off path and gets the yips, but she's a class act. I mean, man, when she's on, she is very, very good. So Tiana Maturo, I not like many, I'm not upset she's not there. She's in the travelling reserves, and I think her time will come. And I just felt there were some games during this past season where she went missing. She got out in a couple of games, I remember, and she was being marked by Liana De Bruyne. Now, if you get marked out of the game by a 44-year-old, I think you might have a problem. Well, you know, that's probably being a bit harsh. But she has a terrific future, Maturo, and it will come.
Yeah, that's so interesting. And I was surprised actually to see her omitted. I haven't followed the ANZ Premiership that closely this year, so you have far more insight than I do. But just based on the fact that she was at the Quad Series, like a lot of the other coaches, England coach Jess Thirlby, Stacey Marinkovic from Australia, they seemed to name teams that sort of were blooded at the Quad Series or in recent international tournaments. Whereas here with the Silver Fern squad, I think there's only about five athletes who actually went to the Quad Series in January. So it's interesting. And do you think that this playing group not having that international experience together will disadvantage them, or based on the reasons that Nolene has outlined, do you think that actually they'll be strengthened because she's picked people who are at their prime right now?
Yeah, look, that's a really interesting question. And I think what she's done, you know, the word that she keeps using is unpredictable. She doesn't want people to be able to work out how they're going to play. She doesn't want to have a starting seven as such, which I thought was quite interesting, because in the past she has enjoyed that sort of style of play. You know, World Cup 2019, she definitely had a starting seven and a spine. This time, not so much. And I think while you're absolutely right in saying this is a very different side to the Quad Nations side, but I think a number of these players who is in this team are back in the team. I'm thinking of Kayla Johnson, Tapia Selby-Rickett. I mean, Kayla Johnson has 50 caps. And I think there's a number of these players who simply weren't available for whatever reason. That was last year, wasn't it? I've got myself, you know, quite confused with the times. But when you look at experience, you know, you think, I've added them up. You know, New Zealand has 433. Australia, 295.
Wow.
So, you know, which is the more experienced team? And, of course, England, 926. Well, I think that's just greedy. But, you know, it makes for a really interesting debate about experience.
Yeah, it is very fascinating.
And can you have too much?
Because there's this whole, you know, there's the constant dilemma as to, okay, you've got these major tournaments, but do you blood any new talent? I mean, often people say that's not the time. But then what happens when, you know, after this year and then next year we've got the Netball World Cup, you have a load of athletes retiring and then you're left with not much in the bank. So it's definitely an interesting thing to look at, isn't it?
Yeah, look, and Nolan Torua made the point that this is the team for this tournament, because I think a few people were starting to wonder, oh, is she picking towards the World Cup? And she said no. And I mean, I think it's very clear that it's not. I mean, this next year, I think she will be definitely planning on having Amelia Anacanasio back in that team. Mm-hmm. Jane Watson will be back in that team. So, you know, it's not a given. So there's two out of seven, well, you would think, starting players, you know, right there. And of course, I haven't mentioned Karen Berger, who, you know, ruled out through injury. She would definitely be there. So it's a fascinating lineup. But if you look at the comparison between our team and Australia's, it's not that different in the sense that in terms of the mix. I mean, they've got, you know, I think they've got both, each got a debutante, and we've got Kate Heffernan, Australia has Kira Austin, and then, you know, a swathe of players with you know, some decent experience, but nothing like England's. And that's why when you wonder who's the favourite, it's very hard to pick.
It is. It just makes it all the more exciting, though.
Can't forget about Jamaica, because, man, have they got some firepower. And, you know, so often we say, Jamaica, you know, they've got these superstars, but they've just not been able to, you know, get it all together. This year, look, fingers crossed, they've got, you know, Rob Wright, the assistant coach of the Mystics, who, you know, was in Australia before, and Australia. So he's gone over as one of the specialist coaches with Connie Francis. And so, you know, you hope for good things from them, because it would be just great. I would love to see Jamaica in the final, against New Zealand, of course.
No, I cannot allow that to happen. I'm sorry if I have anything to do with it. No, it would be fantastic to see Jamaica in the finals, because they've been teetering on the edge for so long, where they've won bronze or come third, maybe fourth. So this year could be the year, and world netball definitely is growing and changing. And going back to that shooting circle, I was going to ask you what you think of the choice to overlook goal shooter Alia Dunn, because she had the highest volume in the ANZ Premiership with a 93% success rate. So just based on statistics, purely alone from those statistics, you think that she would possibly make the Silver Fern squad, but obviously she didn't.
No, that's right. And I think Nolene Torua spent quite a bit of time talking about their decision to stick to their fitness levels. They set these targets. In fact, Torua herself said she would like them even higher, but that's not the case. But there were a number of players who missed that level, and I understand that, you know, Dunn is one of them. If you don't hit the target, you're not going to be picked. And Dunn is prolific, but she just doesn't set the world alight for me. But she has many fans here, and, you know, I'm just one that, you know, has a different view. But I think she's playing basketball in this national competition. She has played for New Zealand. She is a double international. She's played basketball for New Zealand, as is Kate Heffernan, actually. She's played cricket for New Zealand as well. So interesting, all these very talented young women.
Yeah, so impressive. I didn't realise that about Kate Heffernan. That's really outstanding.
Well, even pretty interesting, her mother was a Silver Fern, Annette Heffernan, as was her aunt. And, you know, there's quite a lineage there. Mm. Or I think Shirley Langrope, who was her an aunt, a great aunt or something. Yeah, incredible line of success.
Yes, good netball genes.
Yes.
Hi, this is Shani Layton and you're listening to The Netball Show.
And you did mention the fitness there. I thought it was really fascinating that Nolene, you know, she's always talked about fitness, I feel, as long as she's been the Silver Ferns head coach. But her saying that she wanted to raise the bar if she had her own way was really fascinating. What did you think about that?
Oh, look, I think it's good. There's been quite a bit of chat about this just over, you know, in the series, in the season, because, of course, and it was mostly around Amelia Ann Ecanasio, because, as you may or may not know, she's coming back from having her second child. And it was always going to be a race against time. Now, she's playing in our ANZ Premiership with a number of players who left the Central Colts and went a little bit north to the Waikato Bay of Plenty Magic. She went with Claire Kirsten. Bailey Mez went there from the Mystics. Katrina Lore left the Poles to go there. And on paper at the beginning of the season, you just thought, oh, my goodness, this is going to be amazing. And then, of course, bit by bit, it all fell apart. Rore fell pregnant unexpectedly. COVID hit. Mm. And that just decimated teams. And in fact, that's something I should say, too, in that a number of the players at the time of trials didn't trial because they had the flu.
And, oh, my goodness.
And this is somebody there the other day, they were saying, in many ways, the players who have made this team have basically cleared the hurdle of health. And, yes, COVID, but the flu has been almost just about as bad. And I think whether or not, just a bit of a science lesson here, I mean, I guess when you've had, you know, because we sort of closed our borders and didn't let anyone in for a while, and I guess so no other bugs could come in, and of course now they can. Mm. And I think, you know, perhaps a number of people are perhaps more vulnerable than they, you know, would have been in the past. But so I don't think Maturo trialed, as far as I know. Kayla Johnson didn't trial. And there were, you know, several others. So they would have been judged by their performances during the season. Well, it may or may not have affected a number of selections. And that may be actually why they were so keen to have trials, because I think at the beginning of the season, I don't know that that was the original plan, but I think whether or not the selectors decided, actually, you know, let's do this and let's have another look at the players. But, you know, I think you can't have too much of a look. And, of course, the other thing that I should mention, they've chosen five travelling reserves, will go to the UK with them. So those are Ecanasio, Maturo, Claire Kirsten, Roely Buchanan and Ellie Tenu. And so they will go, and I'm sure you're probably familiar with the situation with the Commonwealth Games, that once the games start, you can't bring in players, regardless of what happens, whether or not you're injured or catch COVID or, you know, get the flu, whatever. You're stuck with those players. So I know, apparently, I think there were efforts made to see if that could be eased, given all the, you know, the COVID situation. And as I understand it, I think the decision was made that would be all very well for the, you know, wealthier countries who could afford to have players on standby, but would be very unfair to those who couldn't just have players waiting in the wings. So that's, and I think actually in the long run, that's a correct decision. So, you know, that's interesting with the reserves. And of course, the other thing is we've got a series next week that the Silver Ferns are playing against New Zealand A, the New Zealand men, and for the first time, a mixed team. And this is, I think it's going to be quite something, and that the invitation members of that mixed team, Kelsey Brown, Laura Sherian, you know, Erina McCurry, sort of Toru has gone back and, you know, putting the Sunshine Coast Lightning together again. There's all sorts of names, and I think it's going to be fantastic.
I agree. I think it's such a great idea, and, you know, light those names up. There's some incredible talent there, so it'll be fantastic for the Silver Ferns and fantastic for the other players to be able to challenge them in that situation so close to the Commonwealth Games. And it's really fascinating what you're saying about COVID, because the UK is in a situation where, you know, they're sort of just very blasé about it at the moment. So as the games get closer, it will be interesting to see exactly what protocols they put in place to protect the athletes. And I'm sure that the teams and the team managers themselves will be wrapping them up in cotton wool and making sure that they're as inexposed, I guess, as possible to anything outside of the club itself.
It's interesting. I was asking about what sort of protocol we just had. I'm going over being part of the host commentary team, and I was asking what, you know, protocols are in place, and they just looked dumbly at me as if to say, what are you asking? So I think, yeah, we'll just have to wait and see.
We'll have to be careful, that's for sure. In the midcourt, we've got Gina Crampton, who is captain, of course. What do you make of the decision to name her as captain again? Is this a good choice?
Yeah, look, I think it is. And I think the most important thing about the captain is they have to have the confidence of the coach. And I think from everything I've ever heard Taurua talk about Gina Crampton, she definitely has it. As does, I should add, Amelia Ann Ecanasio. And I think it'll be interesting to see what happens if and when Ecanasio returns. But that's another story, because for now it's Gina Crampton. I thought Crampton would always be there. I thought she played a bit of a captain season, actually. Back in the day, Casey Corkwell would often start off the season, you know, okay sort of form, but then just ramp things up as it went on. And that's very similar to what Gina Crampton has done. So, yeah, no surprise there.
Interesting. And then alongside Gina Crampton, we've got Kate Heffernan, Shannon Saunders and Whitney Souness, who you've talked about previously and who Nolene could not stop raving about, which is very exciting. So what do you make of that midcourt as a whole?
I think the only area that was of concern for some of my commentary colleagues was that there was a lot of wing attacks and perhaps not a specialist centre. But Taurua sort of answered that by sort of saying, well, you know, there's a few of them there who have been centres. And, I mean, I think Shannon Saunders is the prime candidate. She's the most capped player in this side, I think, with 80, 85. So, and I don't have any qualms about that. I mean, I'm certainly not a midcourt specialist by any strength. But I think, again, you know, you've got to trust the selectors. And this was always going to be the clog point, because you've got Winders as well, and you've got Kirsten, and you know, all these high quality middies that someone was always going to miss out. And I think what Taurua talked about was she wanted a defensive centre, and she feels she's got that with Heffernan. I think, as I mentioned, she's a very tall, you know, young player, and she's got the speed of Souness, the speed of Crampton, and also that ability to play zone. So I think she feels that, you know, she's got plenty of options in that midcourt.
Absolutely. It's really, really fascinating. And then defensively, Sulu Fitzpatrick, Kayla Johnson, Kelly Drury and Phoenix Karaka. What do you make of that? Who do you think out of those will be in the starting seven?
Yeah, well, that's a good question. I think definitely Drury. Kelly Drury she's a really interesting story, actually, because she was, I think, most people's player of the season. She was just outstanding. But last year, you know, she was turned away from the Silver Fern Trials because she didn't meet the fitness level. So she is a great story of someone who had that, well, shame, if you like, because it was made public, and sent away. But she's gone away and she's done the work. And she's had a stunning season with the Central Pulse. She was co-captain with Tiana Maturo. They won the ANZ Premiership. And, you know, the fairy tale goes on. So I think, she'll start Karaka and Fitzpatrick. They're interesting, those two. They're the Northern Mystics defensive combination. And obviously I am from the northern end of the country. I thought the Mystics were terribly unlucky in the ANZ Premiership, because they were coasting along and then Grace Nwecki injured her ankle. And then they got hit by COVID a second time. They were the first to get it. Way back at the beginning of the year, and then it went through again, and then a number of them got the flu. And I mean, I sound like a soppy old woman. But, you know, you could see that they were not 100%. So, I'm pleased to see that they both made it. And I think either of them, well, Fitzpatrick, well, yeah, she'd be at the back. So I suspect it could be Jurien Kataka. It could be Kayla Johnson, who is, you know, a great story. And you've got to wonder that if Karen Berger had been available for selection, but she's got this broken bone in her foot, which ruled her out of the Commonwealth Games, I don't know that she would have made it. But she's interesting because she, you know, for the Northern Stars, the team that she plays for, she hasn't had a lot of time in the starting seven. You know, Ellie Temu and Holly Fowler have kept her on the sideline. So, you know, there's been a few people who have been saying, well, you know, how does she make this team? I think she makes it because she's played 50 tests. She knows what the big time is like. I think Nolene Tuarua has huge faith in her, and that's a big factor. So, you know, I'm going to be fascinated to see how she runs this defensive end.
Yeah, I have complete faith in Nolene. I just think she is a complete genius, which I know I've called her a number of times now. But looking at the court as a whole, those 12 athletes, how much faith do you have in the Silver Ferns to be able to come home with that trophy?
Look, I think it'll be really tough because you look at the competition. And interestingly, Adine Wilson, a former New Zealand captain and fellow commentator, was saying the other day that she doesn't feel that there's any one player in that 12 who is the best player in their position in the world, if you follow the train of thought. Mm. Whereas she thought in 2019, there were three or four in that Silver Ferns team who were, you know, probably top dog in the world. Now, I suspect that I might agree with her, but I do think, though, that times might have changed a bit, and that I think there's more competition out than world netball now. There are more, you know, more teams that are very competitive. Because if you stop and think about it, who is the best shooter in the world? Well, actually, you'd probably say Janelle Fowler. Or you might not. You might say Jo Houghton. Or I don't. But you see, but you wouldn't be totally sure that there's one key player. And I think that's what's changed. There's now a more of a spread in terms of world best.
That's a really fascinating way to look at it. And I mean, one of the players who completely stands out to me, and I remember speaking to her at the World Cup when New Zealand beat England, is Jane Watson. And she, in my mind, was one of those players who was the best defender in the world at that time. So obviously she's not going to be there this time around because of just having had her first baby. But yeah, that's an interesting way of looking at it. And I think that the scope of netball, as it has been evolving for the last 4 years, is continuing to evolve since the Commonwealth Games. And this is the first time that England are able to say that they have been defending champions. So I'm excited to be able to throw that term around for the next month or less now.
Oh, I don't blame you. I would be milking it for all it's worth. And it's interesting because, you know, I'm not sure what, do you know, what is England doing in the run-up to these games?
They either are slash were at a training camp in South Africa very recently, so they had most of their players there. Prior to that, I'd imagine they'd be back in Loughborough, which is where their hub is, the Roses full-time training programme. So I'm not 100% sure. I'd need to check that out. But yeah, they were all together in South Africa, and I'd imagine they'll be in Loughborough as well.
Yeah, it's fascinating, isn't it? Because all the teams do slightly different things. And, you know, of course, the series that the Ferns are playing next week, the danger to that, of course, is that you get injuries. But the exciting thing is you because what happened, they did this the first time in 2019 before the World Cup, and it was the first time that men's netball had been on TV playing the Ferns, which, I mean, they've used them for years as build-up, but never made an event of it. And it was spectacular. And it got the whole country, well, of course, I'm generalising when I say the whole country, but, you know, all of those interested really galvanised behind the Silver Ferns. And I think, well, let's hope it happens again this time, because I think nobody's kidding. I mean, we're missing a few key players. And, you know, we don't have a lot. And so, you know, we need to take care of the ones that you have. But thinking of not having a lot of players, you know, when I look at that Jamaica team, they are incredible, the number of top players they produce from that small country. And I really do hope they do well.
Yeah, me too. But not as well as England.
Or New Zealand. That's right.
We're terrible. No, it's patriotism. It's fine. Well, that's Jenny, right. Thank you so much. I'm really looking forward to seeing you in Birmingham and getting perhaps more insight from you. And there's not long to go now, less than a month. So thank you very much for joining us here today.
Well, your guess is as good as mine. We will see who's going to win the Commonwealth Games in under a month now. And you can guarantee that we will be there doing daily podcasts. So make sure you follow us online at The Netball Show.
The Netball Show with Flyhawk, raising the bar for netball and women's sport.